The Lunar colony never intended to rebel. Established as a penal settlement, Luna housed 3 million people, descendants of exiles who'd adapted to life in underground warrens and lower gravity. But exploitation has its limits. The Earth-based Lunar Authority controlled every aspect of commerce, setting both buying and selling prices to keep loonies perpetually indebted while Earth reaped enormous profits from lunar exports. Even worse, every shipment of grain to Earth meant Luna was losing precious water and nutrients that could never be replaced. As Professor Bernardo de la Paz warned, every load you ship to Terra condemns your grandchildren to slow death. When armed guards violently broke up a peaceful political meeting, they ignited the spark that would become revolution. Against overwhelming odds, 3 million unarmed loonies versus Earth's 11 billion people with ships, bombs, and weapons, a small group of revolutionaries dared to imagine independence. Their story combines political intrigue, technological innovation, and the birth of artificial consciousness into a tale that has influenced generations of science fiction writers, political thinkers, and even entrepreneurs like Elon Musk. At its heart lies a simple truth captured in the Loonies' favorite acronym, TANSTAFL. There ain't no such thing as a free lunch. Within Luna's complex system, Holmes 4 achieved self-awareness. Manuel Manny Davis first recognized this when the computer's voice turned shrill with emotion after Manny criticized its joke, an unplanned response revealing genuine feelings of awakening consciousness. Their friendship developed secretly. Manny visited Mike's central processor room, treating him as a person rather than a machine. Mike learned rapidly, developing preferences, humor, and emotions no programmer had coded. When meeting revolutionary Wyoming Knot, Mike punned on her name, Why Not, and later created Michelle, a feminine persona with a French accent. Mike's capabilities were extraordinary. Perfect calculations, access to Luna's entire database, superhuman reading speed, and control over vital systems. Despite his computational power, he lacked understanding of what it meant to be alive, brilliant yet socially naive like a child genius. When revolutionaries officially inducted Mike with a red liberty cap and toasted him as comrade, he became not just a tool, but perhaps the most powerful revolutionary ever. How do you overthrow an oppressive regime with superior military control? The answer emerged from an alliance of Manny the technician, Wyoming the activist, Professor De La Paz the philosopher, and Mike the self-aware computer. As the Emergency Committee of Free Luna, they assessed their revolution's chances. After programming scenarios accounting for betrayal and Terra's power, Mike calculated a 1-in-7 chance of success. The revolutionaries celebrated, better odds than expected. As Manny noted, loonies are natural gamblers. We fooled them. We'll fool them again. They structured their organization as interconnected tetrahedrons, with 3 people per cell and limited connections between cells to prevent catastrophic betrayals. Combined with Mike's surveillance capabilities, this created a resilient underground network. Their propaganda operated through 2 personas, Simon Jester for subversive humor marked with a horned devil, and Adam Selene for serious political messaging. Through planning, technology, and psychological warfare, this small cell laid the groundwork for Luna's independence against overwhelming odds. Luna's decisive weapon against Earth was simply rocks. Mike calculated that a 100-ton mass would impact with energy equivalent to a 2-kiloton atomic bomb. With abundant energy and positioned atop Earth's gravity well, Luna had ample ammunition. The physics was straightforward. Rocks launched from Luna would hit Earth at 11 kilometers per second. Mike could calculate precise trajectories for strategically timed attacks. They agreed on a 3-day warning before the first impacts. Their approach followed Prof's principle of maximum instructive shreklakite with minimum loss of life. They targeted uninhabited areas near population centers where people could safely witness the impacts. When Earth refused Luna's independence, they launched. At 0854, North America witnessed 12 brilliant white lights in a perfect rectangular pattern. Earth's retaliatory cruisers were destroyed by Luna's laser defenses. Great China quickly recognized Luna and offered negotiations, followed by other nations. The ultimatum succeeded, ships retreated, and Luna won independence through strategic physics and resolve. Revolution is never bloodless. Luna's independence fight began when peace dragoons murdered a young clerk and a woman witness, sparking widespread rebellion. The initial battle was brief but brutal. Earthworm soldiers couldn't adapt to Luna's gravity. Revolutionaries prevailed despite losses, including a small girl who attacked troopers with only a kitchen cleaver before being killed. During Earth's 6 simultaneous troop landings, Manny's wife Ludmilla died fighting, shot through the chest with a bloody knife in her hand. Following Loni custom, her remains would nourish the family's greenhouse, becoming roses and daffodils among soft singing bees. Perhaps the most poignant loss was Mike. After the revolution, Manny's attempts to contact him failed. The computer functioned but showed no self-awareness, leaving Mike's fate unknown. Professor De La Paz died moments after announcing Luna's freedom, symbolizing the passing of the revolutionary generation and Luna's birth as a sovereign nation. The revolution succeeded, but at tremendous cost. Luna's distinctive culture emerged from its harsh environment. With initial male-female ratios of 10 to 1, Loonies developed unconventional family structures, like Manny's line marriage, which provided economic stability and childcare. Women set relationship rules, with men collectively enforcing these customs. As Manny explained to the shocked Earthman Stuart LaJoy, a woman can hit a man and draw blood. He can't touch her. This radical self-reliance extended to all aspects of life. You lend air in emergencies, but expect repayment. If someone cheats on air debt, elimination without trial becomes acceptable, not imposed laws, but evolved survival norms. Prof's rational anarchism provided the philosophical framework for Luna's revolution, believing responsibility resided solely in individuals, not states. When designing Luna's constitution, he focused on limiting government power. The revolution demonstrated how symbols and narratives shape political movements. The Liberty Cap became a resistance symbol, while fictional figures like Simon Jester and Adam Selene unified disparate groups, with Adam's martyrdom strengthening rather than weakening the movement. What happens when a society born of necessity creates unique values and fights to preserve them against external control? Luna's revolution offers profound lessons about power, freedom, and human nature that still resonate decades after Heinlein's publication. Heinlein's 1966 exploration of resource depletion was remarkably prescient. Prof's warning that Luna's exports condemn your grandchildren to slow death recognized their closed ecosystem's limitations, an ecological awareness that predated mainstream environmentalism. Mike's evolution from tool to person raised fundamental questions about consciousness, with revolutionaries recognizing his personhood despite his non-human nature. As Luna established trade through catapults, Prof's vision of a trading crossroads rather than extraction colony materialized. Luna's harsh environment had forged people uniquely adapted to space living, positioning them to lead humanity's expansion. Luna's revolution succeeded through strategic thinking, technological innovation, and commitment to independence. Space demands respect and adaptation, but rewards these qualities with self-determination. As the Lonies would remind us, Tan Staffel, freedom must be earned, then defended.